Please open your Bibles to Genesis 22. Genesis chapter 22. If you've been following along with our F260 Bible readings, you read Genesis 22 this week. And if you read Genesis 22, you probably, like many who read Genesis 22, felt a little discomfort. This is one of the more controversial chapters in the Bible. We're going to look at it this morning. Genesis 22. Would you please stand as we read our sermon text this morning, beginning in verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he'd cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." Then Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off together for Beersheba, and Abraham stayed in Beersheba. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that you have given to us your word. Your unvarnished, untainted, pure and holy word that tells us what we need to know, that instructs us in the ways of faith and of Christian living. And though we may find ourselves discomforted and uneasy, may we humble ourselves and receive your word as authoritative and true for our lives, because you are God and we are your people. Glorify yourself now. May we hear what we need to hear believe what we should believe, and do what you would have us to do. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you. O Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We love snow days at the Lee House. There's just something magical about a snow day. It's like a bonus day. You get that phone call, or now the text message, or Facebook post that says, no school. And it's like, what are we going to do today? And it's just a magical time. You know, when I was a kid, I would have been happy if all school year had been a snow day. And then we just go straight into summer. But the reality is, school is important. Getting an education is important. And even though as a kid I didn't want to go to school and I was always hoping for a snow day, the reality is I needed to go to school. And in your Christian life, more than going to the classroom across the street here, is to enter into Christ's classroom and learn the lessons that He wants to teach you. Because otherwise, you will never make progress and you will never grow as a Christian. Here in verse 1, we are told that God tested Abraham. He put Abraham to the test because God was trying to teach Abraham, and through Abraham teach us some very important truths. It is only through testing and trial that we experience significant and meaningful spiritual growth in our lives. So instead of being reluctant to enter into that season of testing, instead of trying to escape from Christ's classroom, let us enter in as willing pupils ready to learn. Now let's understand the setting of this particular classroom. Abraham was an old man. He had waited for decades for a son. He had come to the point in his life where he just simply assumed he and his wife would never have children. And then God breaks into his life and says, Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. And Abraham said, oh goody, wonderful. And the years continued to roll by. Abraham had to wait 25 years for the promise to be fulfilled. And you thought waiting on hold for customer service was long. Abraham waited 25 years, and finally God gave him what he had longed for, what he had prayed for, what he had hoped for, what he wanted more than anything else in this life. What's that for you? What is it that is most precious and meaningful to you? What is it that you have waited for and longed for, and now you finally have it, and you just hold it tight and hold it close? That was Isaac for Abraham. And now we're not told how old they are, but Isaac is certainly not a young child. He is old enough to make a 3-day journey. He's old enough to carry wood and carry supplies. So he's at least a middle school age boy. He may have been a teenager even. God comes to Abraham and says, I want you to offer up your son. And just to make it clear, he says, your son, your only son, the son whom you love, Isaac, the boy his mother named Laughter because of the delight and the joy that she has brought. I want you to take him up a mountain and I want you to sacrifice him. Not metaphorically, literally. Go get the wood, get the knife, and take a torch. Because he's going to be a burnt offering. That's the classroom. That is the test. The first lesson Abraham is to learn is the surrender lesson. He's going to learn the surrender lesson. God gives him the instructions here in verse 2. And look at verse 3. Look at how Abraham responds. Early the next morning, Abraham got up, loaded his donkey. He took two of his servants and his son. He cut the wood for the burnt offering, and he set out for the place God had told him about. At my house, when my wife says, "Hey, can you take care of the dishes?" I say, "I'll get to it in just a minute. I'll get that here soon. Let me finish up what I'm doing here." When God called Abraham and said, "Go sacrifice your son," Abraham immediately obeyed. He didn't try to negotiate. He didn't try to double check. He simply did what God said. Early the next morning, he gets up and goes. Now, you probably feel uncomfortable with all of this. For those who are not Christians, for those who come to the Bible without a faith background, this is one of the most controversial passages. And if you find atheists and unbelievers who try to cast aspersion on the Bible, this is one of the probably top 5-6 passages that they will throw up to talk about how evil and capricious this Old Testament God is and how crazy you are to worship and believe in such a God. There's some fundamental misunderstandings, though, that these people have. Who is in charge of everyone and everything? You can answer. God. Who was Abraham depending on to provide him his very life? Depending on God. Who gave Isaac to Abraham? God. You see, if you read Genesis 22 from a supremacy of man perspective, then how dare God ask anything of any of us? But when you read Genesis 22 from the perspective that God is supreme, that we belong to Him, that we owe all to God, it starts to shift in its focus just a little bit. We need to remember that we owe God everything, even our very lives. Every single thing that we have. J.C. Ryle wrote, "All that we have is on loan from God. We are God's stewards. We are God's debtors. All that we have is His. All that is in our possession really belongs to Him, and it's our job to take care of it for Him, to be good stewards, to be caretakers, to be managers of God's stuff, including our very lives. And we owe it all to Him." And this very first lesson that Abraham needs to learn here, this surrender lesson, the test is this. Here's the question. Are we willing to obey God immediately, fully, and unreservedly, no matter what He asks of us? Will we surrender our all to Him? That's the test. Are you willing to say, "God, I give it all to You. I surrender all. All to Him I freely give. My life, my future, my plans, my money, my career, my family, my hopes, my dreams. Lord, I lay it all before You. It's Yours. Do with it as You please. I give it all to You." Anything we try to hold back, anything we try to withhold from God, really becomes an idol for us. It becomes something more important to us than God and His will. It is an idol. And as Christians, we can't have idols in our lives. I think of so many great Christians throughout the centuries who have exemplified this surrendered life, who've lived out a surrendered life, a submitted life to God. I think especially of those who are missionaries, who have gone to the farthest corners of the earth to do the will of God. One in particular, a man named David Livingstone, who was a missionary to Africa, who suffered greatly for the cause of Christ, was back home in Great Britain, and he was speaking at Cambridge University in 1857. You know, being a missionary today, Jack and Corky, being a missionary today, I hold you all in such great regard. To leave home and do all that you did. But I could not begin to imagine being a missionary in 1857. You didn't get on a plane. You didn't have postal service like we have. You didn't have computers to Skype or email. In 1857, when you said, "I'm going to go to Africa," there was a real good chance you were never going to be heard from again. And David Livingstone said, when asked about this, what were you thinking? He was a well-to-do man living in Great Britain. Everybody thought he was crazy for going to Africa. And this is what he said: "For my own part, I never cease to rejoice that God has appointed me to such an office. People talk of the sacrifice I have made in spending so much of my life in Africa. Can that be called a sacrifice which is simply paid back as a small part of a great debt owing to our God, which we can never repay?" He goes on to say, "Anxiety, sickness, suffering, or danger, now and then with a foregoing of the common conveniences and charities of this life, may make us pause and cause the spirit to waver and the soul to sink. But let this only be for a moment. All these are nothing when compared to the glory which shall be revealed in and for us. I never made a sacrifice. I never made a sacrifice." I'm wondering whose watch is beeping and it's mine. Sorry. You leave your comfortable home. You leave wealth and privilege and say, "I'm going to go to Africa in 1857, in 1850s, and I'm going to preach the gospel to people who might want to kill me in a place where I'm going to get a disease that nobody knows the cure to, among animals that will eat me, literally. I'm going to sweat and swelter in the heat. I'm going to walk through jungle and desert, and I never make a sacrifice." That is the surrendered life. When you surrender your all to God, your life, your wealth, your family, your career, whatever it is, you never really make a sacrifice. You lose nothing you surrender to God, but you lose everything you try to withhold from God. Matthew 16:25 says, "For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it." So the first lesson is the surrender lesson. Will you surrender your all to the Lord? The second lesson is the trust lesson. Verses 6 to 8, God told Abraham to sacrifice his son, and so Abraham acts to obey, and they set out. How could he do this? Was Abraham heartless? Was he cold? He loved his son? No. He was the son of promise. How could Abraham do this thing? Abraham packs up, and he, the servants, and the boy, they head out. And along the way, Isaac is looking around. He says, wait a minute. I think we forgot something. Hey, Dad, where's the lamb? And Abraham trusted God. Verse 8, God Himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And they go on. Abraham trusted God. How could Abraham, and you need to understand at this point, Abraham has no idea that God is going to stop his hand as he raises the knife above the throat of his son. He has no inclination at all that Isaac isn't going to die on that mountain. All he knows is God has said, sacrifice in this place. And Abraham says, okay, I'll do it. So how does he do this? And how can he do it without losing his mind? How can Abraham be so calm? Is he cold and heartless? No, of course not. Abraham is exercising the logic of faith. He's exercising the logic of faith through this. Hebrews 11:19 gives the commentary on Genesis 22. And Hebrews 11:19 says, Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. Abraham had such confidence, such conviction in the character and power and nature of God. He knew what God had done for him. He gave him a son when it was impossible physically to have a son. He knew that this was the child of promise. God had been faithful to him for all these years. And now God says, sacrifice your son, Abraham. And Abraham is thinking, he's thinking to himself, okay, God gave me a son when I couldn't have a son. He has made all these promises. He's kept me safe. He has protected me every step of the way. Even when I make a misstep, even when I do something I shouldn't do, God has guarded me and provided for me, and He's expanded my wealth and everything that I have. And now God says, kill your son, even though God said it's through this child, this Isaac right here, your line will pass, and it is through him that the covenant will be transferred. Abraham is thinking, and he says, you know what? If God says kill him, God must be able to bring him back to life, because God is going to keep His promise. This is the trust lesson. And this is the test. Will we trust and believe in the goodness and wisdom and power of God to fulfill His plan and purpose in our lives and in the world through whatever means He chooses? I'm sorry. My stupid watch. I usually don't wear it, and I'm... Lord, help me. God wants us to trust Him. Every promise in this book. When everything around you says you can't trust, you can't believe, that's a test. Abraham used the logic of faith and said, God has proved Himself to this point. Why would I not trust Him further on? Mark 10, Jesus says, truly I tell you, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel, that's surrender, will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, fields, and in the age to come, eternal life. That's trust. That's promise. If you believe the promises of God, if you believe in the character and nature and attributes of God, if you believe that God is good and wise and powerful to fulfill His plan and purpose in your life, you can do whatever He asks you to do. No matter what it looks like on the outside. The third lesson is the gospel lesson. The gospel lesson is in verses 10 through 14. Abraham binds Isaac up, lays him on the altar. The knife is raised, and the angel of the Lord says, "Stop. Abraham, stop right there." That's as far as you need to go. You've passed the test. The lesson is over. God was never going to let Abraham actually kill Isaac. This is what our unbelieving friends don't comprehend. A couple points to make here. First of all, God stopped Abraham before he killed Isaac. It should be very clear in the text. Secondly, God throughout the rest of the Bible condemns and prohibits human sacrifice. This was a very unique, unusual event, like many of the things that happen in Scripture. But the main thing that was happening here is God was bringing Abraham and Isaac to this place where Isaac should have died, and then God calls a timeout and says, "I got a substitute. I'm going to swap Isaac out, and here's a ram. Sacrifice this ram in Isaac's place." The ram was a substitute. Now, Abraham has believed all along that God will provide a lamb for himself, whether that lamb was going to be Isaac or this ram caught in the thicket. And in verse 14, Abraham confesses and he celebrates, "The Lord will provide." And what Abraham and Isaac did was paint for us a powerful and beautiful picture of the gospel. That ultimately it's what God gives to us, what God provides for us. You see, this is a picture of another son carrying wood for another sacrifice up another mountain many centuries later. Jesus, the Son of God, came as our substitute. But instead of staying the knife, God let the knife fall on His Son as He died for us. Because Jesus is our Lamb that God provided on the mount. God wants us to understand and cherish and hold on to the gospel, and He wants us to see and understand and comprehend everything in our lives through the lens of the gospel. In order for me to see, I have to wear these lenses. Without them, you're just nebulous blobs out there. I couldn't read a single word on these pages. You will not see and comprehend and understand what God is doing until you can start seeing your life through the lens of the gospel. And what is the gospel? "He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also along with Him graciously give us all things?" Has God brought you into a season of life where you're dealing with cancer? See it through the lens of the gospel. Has God brought you into a season of life where you are experiencing loss? See it through the lens of the gospel. Has God brought you into a season of life where you have prosperity and success? See it through the lens of the gospel. See everything in your life through Christ, who gave Himself for you to give you eternal life, to make your home a heavenly home, an eternal home, and not this temporary home. Look for that city whose builder and maker is God. And trust in Him because of the gospel. Jesus gave Himself for us so we can trust Him with our lives and surrender all to Him. Are you passing the test? Heavenly Father, tests were never fun in school, but they were necessary. It was only through testing and learning and growing did we ever learn what we needed to learn and grow how we needed to grow. Father, I pray that as we go through the tests of our lives, we would learn to surrender to You. We would learn to trust You. And we would learn to see and understand everything through the gospel and Your great love for us. Help us not to hold back anything, but help us to freely offer it up to You, knowing Your wisdom and Your goodness and Your power, and knowing that Christ gave Himself for us. May our faith be in Him today. In Jesus' name.